You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we have another return guest, which is the perk of being in our, eighth or ninth season. Karen Carr is back with us to give us some more insights on real estate video. And frankly, if you're not even in real estate, her tips will help you too. Plus, she's delightful. So enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, Karen, it's not many people who have been on my podcast more than once, but I'm so excited that you came back again. Yay!
Well, thank you for inviting me. I love seeing you and being here. Thank you so much.
I mean, you are the queen of Savannah, but you're also the queen of the real estate video world, and that's starting to become an undisputed title. So we're probably going to have to get you some heavyweight of the world belt buckle that you could wear, video champ.
I love it. That sounds good. I'll wear my giant belt buckle everywhere I go.
I mean, get some bling on it. That'd be fine. But while we dig in here, of course, friends, if you don't know who Karen Carr is, click on the link over here. Pause this one. Go watch her other episode. But for the rest of y'all, like, hey, girl, what's up? So why don't you remind our audience where you're from, who you are? I just gave up the Savannah part. So give them a little bit of Karen Carr story before we dig in.
You got it. So I have been a licensed realtor since 2005. I moved a lot. I went from Northern California to Hilton Head to Atlanta to Savannah in the space of 5 years. That was a good time. And starting over every single time in my new market, realizing that I had no idea how to prospect for new business because back in the day, it was all REO, right? So my prospecting involved me waking up, checking my email, and having 10 new listings. Like, it was crazy. 2007, 8, 9, 10 was insane. And there was no prospecting involved. At the height of it, it was telling my husband, okay, I'll go to these three houses. You go to these three houses. Just find out if anyone is still occupying the house. We'll report back to the bank. The ones that are vacant, we'll go change the locks and start going. The ones that are occupied, we'll report back. And, you know, it was crazy. It was insane. So when I moved across the country, it was like, okay, where are my listings? And nothing happened because it was now 2013 and that ship had sailed. So I started a YouTube channel when I got to Atlanta for personal reasons. My kids were small. My parents lived in another area. I was taking videos of them and like putting it on YouTube as unlisted and sending the link to my mom so she could see Hamilton learning how to crawl and Maddie's dance recital and stuff like that. And then I thought, well, why not make some real estate videos? So I just started throwing them up there. They were terrible. I filmed them in my car. There was no lighting. They were blurry. I didn't have any script. I was literally just hitting record and word vomiting until I couldn't think of anything else to say and then hit stop and then upload it exactly as it was with no editing whatsoever. And then we moved again. We moved to Savannah, but I finally got my first lead from somebody that said, I've been watching all of your YouTube videos and I feel like I know you already. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I was terrible on camera and had no idea what I was doing and I still got clients from it, how much better would it be if I actually put some thought into this and tried to figure out what the heck I was doing? We just wing it. But you know what? That's a huge lesson of my motto is kind of like jump in the pool first and then figure out how to swim. Because if you figure out how to be the perfect swimmer before you jump in the pool, 3 years have gone by and guess what? You're still not perfect. And that holds us all back. We will not start because we're not perfect from day one. And then we can't make any progress because we have these crazy high standards that we hold ourselves to. It's just,
girl, we are middle-aged. We don't have 3 years to waste.
No, I mean, we do not.
You know, it's kind of like the whole swimming analogy. If you wait three more years, how much harder is it going to be to get started?
Woo. Oh, yeah. Tell me about that, right?
Let me ask you a question, though. So you started doing these kind of uploads in the wild in 2013?
I think it was 2016 when I was doing that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So still prior to the bulk of the content that we see out there now, because it just grows every single day. If you had to wager a wild, unsubstantiated guess from doing no research, but just guessing, how many many real estate people were doing YouTube consistently at that time? Would you say it was 10,000 or 1,000, or what would be your wild guess?
Oh my gosh. Like nationwide, the number of people, I would say it was probably less than 5,000. I know in my market in Atlanta, like I started making those videos and I didn't do any research. But then when I got to Savannah and I actually got that first phone call, I thought, I wonder who else is doing that here. There was one guy who was making videos, and bless his heart, he was making them over and over and over again. And they would get 7 views, 12 views. And I thought, well, good grief, how hard is it to beat that? Like, surely I can take some market share from that guy, because his videos were not good. He kept doing them. He was being so consistent, but they were just not enjoyable to watch, which is why they were getting no views. So I figured, okay, my only goal is to be better than that guy.
You notice though, the dude was consistent. So he gets into consistent. The top 5,000 category or whatever.
Absolutely.
5,000 sounds reasonable, because consistent piece is the hardest thing for anybody to get involved in. They might word vomit, I love that phrase, one video, and then they think, well, I don't know what to do next. And so then they fall from, I got one out there, back into the, I'm going to be 3 years worth of planning to be a great swimmer. And so it's actually, I think it's a back and forth struggle. Wouldn't you agree that people make something and then they freeze out, but even more so than people who never get started?
Yes, absolutely. So I give him so much credit for being consistent. And he is a very successful agent in this market. He's a broker owner of his own brokerage. I mean, he does a crap ton of business. But at this particular point in time, the YouTube channel was not bringing him any of that business, I'm sure, just because hardly anybody was even knew it was there. He had no subscribers and no views, but he was being consistent, which is half the battle, right? So then I said, okay, I'm going to try to be just a tiny bit better than that guy, and I will be consistent as well. And I will make one video a week, but I'm going to actually try to learn this platform rather than just throw spaghetti at the wall and hope that it sticks. I'm going to try to figure out, how does the YouTube algorithm work so that I will make it like my content and want to show it to more people and therefore succeed on that platform? Because I wasn't interested in being on every platform. I didn't want to go live on Facebook. I wasn't on TikTok. I think it was Musical.ly back then. Nobody was using Musical.ly for business, right?
Oh my God.
My daughter was on Musical.ly and all they did was lip sync to songs.
But it was stupid.
Yeah. I was like, why would anybody use that for business? Like, how is that going to help me lip syncing to Michael Jackson songs from 1984? I couldn't get it. I wasn't on Snapchat. I wasn't on Instagram, like none of those things. I just figured this is the one platform that I actually enjoy using, and I'm going to learn how it works. And so I did.
Look at all that history. Okay, so let's fast forward to 2023. Are you still doing a video a week? Is that your same tempo, or has it moved as you've continued to get more educated on the platform?
I eventually had to form a team because I had so much business coming in. I couldn't take care of it myself. I was the bottleneck. I was dropping the ball. I was not calling people back in timely fashion. It was all me because I was so busy. So I formed a team. At the height of it, we ended up being 9 agents total. And we were probably doing 3 videos a week because I wanted every face of the team to be on the channel. And if we took turns, then everybody would get one video every 9 weeks, which isn't that great.
Wait a minute. I got to ask you a question, because I've been a team leader for a long time, and there's always going to, just by the nature of the business, be turnover on the team, because people will say, I want to go be my own superstar, or this isn't for me. So if you've got your team members in your videos, do you go back and edit the caption and say, Jane is no longer with us? Or do you take the video down, or you just pretend to deny this and just say, we don't think about that anymore?
See, that's the cool thing, because the way that I structured my team, everybody that was on my team came to me and asked to join. And that was part of my value add to them, was I'm going to give you these leads who are ready, willing, and able. They already know who we are. They're not even interviewing anybody else 90% of the time. They are yours to work with. And so we had very little turnover on the team. There was only one that left, and we did. I unlisted a couple of her old videos, but if I got any leads for her. Like I said, hey, you want a referral? And she would just pay us a referral fee and that worked out
fine. Oh, that's a very elegant solution there. I like that. Okay. So anyway, now you've moved from selling, even though you're still bringing business in Savannah, but you have discovered that there is a huge opportunity to create better for other real estate agents with your training program and video. And when you get to train people, you get to see where they're starting. And the start line is, let's just say, not the same start line for everybody as it is for everybody else. And so on this episode of Crazy Shit, I was really hoping that you might tell us some of the worst videos and video channels that you've seen. And by the way, y'all, we're not going to call any names out. And so if you think this is you, just breathe and let it out, because nobody would know if you don't call it out in the comments. Just going to say, but I want to know what you've seen, because we all know that the worst practices can lead us to best practices if we're willing to get humble and say, all right, I got to get better. So I'm dying to know the worst you've seen out there. I know which ones make me cry, but you have to have seen worse.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I've seen some terrible ones. Probably the worst one that I can think of was the woman who pretended to be naked in her house listing tour. And I was so horrified that you are a realtor and this is how you are presenting yourself. And the video went viral. And she said she got so much business from it and got so many new clients who loved it. And I was like, I'm glad it was effective for you, but wow. So I guess she wore some sort of nude colored, it was either a bodysuit or like a really tight sheath dress, and did the listing tour, but then they blurred out her body so it looked like she was naked. And she did a whole, here's the kitchen, here's the backyard, and it looked like she was naked. And promoted this everywhere. And they went viral, as you can imagine. And I was like, you know, I'm glad that it brought you business and it was successful. And maybe it even helped the house to get sold quicker. But at what cost? Like, I could never, ever, ever in a million years do that. Like, I am all for being funny in your videos, but I just did not enjoy that. I found it to be distasteful. So
if you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. There's a misunderstanding in the real estate professional community, too, that what one person does winds up being a reflection on everybody else, because you make that video and your sphere sees it, and then it goes viral, and now 4 million people have seen it, and they think, oh, that's what realtors do. They don't look at it as that's what that lady did. They think that's just what we all do. Just the same reason we get compared to stupid HGTV shows or that Selling Sunset mess, which I know is fun to watch with a box of wine. But when you think about it, it's not an accurate reflection of how intimate and intricate the real estate transaction can be. And
can I just say, I love that you said a box of wine and not a bottle of wine.
Let's just be honest about it. Selling Sunset is people, and Aldi makes excellent box wine. I've heard.
Not that I would know from personal experience. Not that I would know. At all.
Of course I would know, because I'm super cheap, and that's why you go to Aldi, which is the big lots of grocery stores.
So that's right.
Okay, so when you think about that virality problem, which I see it as a problem because it's a virus. Viruses ain't good. I'm just going to point that out. But when you think about it, why is there such a desire for people to go viral, Karen? Because if the goal is to be a local market expert, I mean, I'm in Concord, North Carolina. It's probably not everybody's top city to talk about. So what I put out there by nature really shouldn't be viral, right?
Right. I mean, I'm not sure that I understand the push unless it's all for, I need external validation. I need you to watch the video to tell me how great I am so that I can feel better about myself. And, you know, I have been there many, many, many times where I didn't feel very good about myself. I didn't feel confident. I didn't feel liked or whatever. And you look for external validation, but it's kind of sad. Like when you really sit down and you think hard about it, do I really need total strangers on the internet to make me feel better about myself? What if I was just okay with who I am and I have my own back and that's really all that matters? And of course, the loved ones around me, and I feel like I'm doing my profession a good representation, right? But I don't need 3 million 17-year-old boys to be like, wow, she's hot because she's naked in this listing tour. That's not what I need. I'm trying to get the house sold if it is a listing tour. I am trying to represent my profession. I am trying to get more clients. But if the video gets 300 views, that's okay. It doesn't need to get 3 million as long as the 300 who watch it are actually the right people.
I hope to heavens that my team clips that little piece out that you just said and makes that a little standalone where you said, I have my own back. I love that so much. That's probably the next book, ma'am. I mean, you could be like, I have my own back and I don't need no validation from teenagers on the internet, because I'm sure that right now my viewers are thinking, of course she can say that. Look at her. She's beautiful. She knows how to talk. She knows how to look at a camera. That's the voice I give to the naysayers on the interwebs. But
right.
How long did it take you to actually give yourself that grace to say, I'm not terrible on camera as a video professional? Because we already discussed in the pre-roll, your hair looks amazing today. And we all know those are the days you make all your videos are on the good hair days. That's what my team is like. If it's a good day, how many videos can you knock out? Because I feel
that's
different.
Right.
And your outfit works and your background works. And I'm guessing it wasn't this polished in 2016. So what's the secret sauce to not having that self-doubt where you don't have your own back? I love that so much. It's so good.
Oh, thank you. Now I need to like trademark that I said that.
You know, I'm going to trademark it if you don't.
Okay, I'll beat you to it. I'll be on there like the minute we hang up this podcast. I think it comes from sheer repetition. The more you do it, the more comfortable you get. And part of it is getting older. I'm 54. I don't care what people think about my appearance anymore. I aspire to be like Sophia from the Golden Girls, where I will just say whatever the heck I think, and I don't care what your opinion of it is. It's like, you can have your opinion. That's fine. I have my opinion. They don't have to be the same, but I also don't need to feel any different because of your opinion. You know what I mean? So as I got older and I decided I'm going to let my hair grow out gray because it's like 80% gray, probably at a minimum. And who am I fooling having to color it every 17 days? Because when my roots grow in, it's, you know, half an inch of solid white, and I'm just going to let it grow in gray. And then it did. And I was like, wow, I really like this. I wish I would have done it so much longer ago. And that gave me confidence, just like feeling good in my own skin. Then you start doing these videos over and over and over again, and you get better over time. I'm glad you like my background. I moved into a new house and the walls were beige, and my hair, my face, and the walls were all pretty much the same color. So it was not a great background. And I thought, well, what would make me pop against the background? A very dark background, because I'm super fair skinned and I now have white hair. So what if I did a really dark background? And then I just found some cool little lights that I could put on the bookshelf. And there's some lights like behind the couch back there so that it would just make it look more interesting in the background. And of course, today is a camera day. So when I wake up, I know I'm going to do the makeup. I'm going to put on the clothes. I'm going to do the hair because I'm going to be on camera 3 or 4 times today. So I just know that that's a day. Thursdays are my work on the business, not work in the business day. So I'm usually in a sweatpants with my hair in a bun because I'm not on camera and I'm literally just sitting at my desk doing business planning and stuff where no one's going to see me. I can wear whatever the heck I want. But if I know I'm going to be on camera, then I just make the effort to look a little more polished than I would typically.
And my guess is that all those fancy little lights behind you came from Amazon for about no money. And so for anybody you're thinking, oh, can you do that? You can.
As much They're as like $34 for a set of two on Amazon.
Just look for Amazon, but we love it for that.
Yeah, totally. And my favorite thing about Amazon is you buy them, you bring them home, you put them up and you're like, oh, I don't like those at all. And you send it back and you get your money back. Like, get 30 days to play with this stuff and decide if you like it or not. Amazon's the best. Everything in my background came from Amazon. I'm looking at it now and I'm like, yeah.
Does Savannah have those new Amazon bin stores, by the way, where they're selling all the cast off stuff and you just kind of root through the bins and find it for like no money?
No, I think there are a couple of warehouses around somewhere, but I have not seen those.
Well, come visit. I will take you to one because Amazon takes all that stuff that you send back, like those lights, and throws it in a bin for people to come rummage through. And Friday, everything's $14 and Saturday, everything's $10. And I bet you a dollar if I went in there this weekend, I'd find some more of those lights for even less for those of y'all that are on a budget. But I got to point out something you said that applies to video so perfectly. You're talking about your mane of beautiful gray hair, and you said you wish you'd done it sooner. How many times would you say you've heard from somebody who's taken one of your programs and they finally had a consumer reach out to them that says, hey, I want to talk to you. And they came back to you and said, I should have been doing video sooner. How frequently would you say that happens?
Every single day. No one ever says, I wish I would have waited longer until I was better or until I had a better backdrop or any of those things. No one ever says that. They all say, oh my gosh, if I could have just gotten out of my own way, if I could have gotten over my fear. I hear a lot of people say, I hate the sound of my voice. I'm like, really? Has a client ever fired you because they can't stand how your voice sounds? No. So,
they're jerks. We don't want to work with
them. I mean, okay, maybe one in a million would say, I really don't like how your voice sounds, so I can't work with you anymore. Okay, bye. There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. But that doesn't happen. So we make these excuses into things. They're not a thing. Don't make problems where none exist. No one cares how your voice sounds. You speak, that's how you sound. You show up, that's how you look. They don't fire you based on your dress size or your pant size. They don't care.
It's so true. And frankly, I hate the sound of my voice, but my secret sauce to that with videos, I don't go back and watch my videos again. I leave everything on mute. The consumer can listen and I'll just not ever listen to it again. And so if you hate the sound of your voice, listen to Karen and then follow my tip of not listening to it again. Keep your phone on mute. All right. So what's another bad example of video you've seen? The one that sits with me was this market report that a guy did, and he was standing outside in front of a fence, and he just for 5 minutes talked about the market. And it was not interesting anecdotes. It was days on market and list price to sales price ratio and zip codes. And it was just data, and it was for 5 minutes. And I was having like a personal opportunity here. I'm like, I'm going to make it all the way through this video. I'm going to make it because I wanted to see if there was some kicker at the end where he goes, ta-da. There was no ta-da. And it was just five minutes of dreadful. So that's the one that has kept me up at night because it should put me to sleep, honestly. Give me another bad example that people should think about twice before they make one.
Well, let me give you a great example. You did a market report in front of your chicken coop where I laughed the entire time and was like, this is what a market report should be. So listen, we all have different personality types. And if you've ever taken the DISC profile, I'm a high I, high S. I am not a high D. Maybe this guy was, and he just wants to talk about statistics the whole time. And that's who you're trying to attract. But do you think that the average consumer has any idea what the market absorption rate even means? Or if you say there were 115 new listings and 75 went pending, okay, is that good? Is that bad? Because I have no frame of reference. You're not telling me, is that better than last month? Is it worse? We just throw out all of these statistics and we assume that the consumer lives in the MLS like we do and we devour all of this data and they don't. So could you make a market update video where, yes, you're telling them these numbers, but how is that applicable to them? If they are a seller, what does that mean to them? If they are the buyer, what does that mean? They don't really care about the sheer number of houses that went under contract. What they want to know is it turning into a buyer's market now? Does that mean I can ask the seller to pay some of my closing costs? Like, they want to know, what does that mean for me? Not just the numbers. That's like watching paint dry for me. The same thing. I can't do it. I've hardly made any market update videos. And when I do, I dress up in characters. Like I do anything I can to make it more watchable. Because for me, that's like, I'd rather poke my eyeballs out with a fork.
Or just keep it super short. So his was like literally 5 minutes long because I was staring at the little progress bar going across my screen. How long should a typical video be if somebody's got something to say? What's the length that they're going for? And is there any kind of rule of thumb on that?
Well, on YouTube, it's a whole different strategy than social media, because with social media, it's more interruption marketing. And so we have to say something right away that grabs their attention, or we do something on screen so that they stop the scroll and then they watch the video. But on YouTube, that's not really how it works. They're on YouTube to watch videos. That's literally the only reason that they're there. And the YouTube algorithm rewards you if you make longer videos and people watch them. So for me personally, I try to shoot for a minimum of 8 minutes long, which sounds really long, I know. But the better you get at telling a story and like teasing the answer, but don't give them the answer right at the beginning, it becomes easier the more you do it. I mean, it definitely is a learned skill and it takes a long time. At the beginning, I made 3, 4, 5 minute long videos and they felt ridiculously long. Now I feel like I'm just getting started at 5 minutes because clearly talking is not something I have a problem with. And so if I can make it longer than 8 minutes, the YouTube algorithm will absolutely push that out in front of more people.
Well, I feel really bad now for watching his whole 5 minutes because it sounds like he actually got rewarded for his bad behavior.
You are probably the only one. Don't worry.
Okay, that's true. So my thing that you just said here that just went, YouTube is not social media.
It is not social media. It's a search engine.
Right?
It is
we talk about the network and yeah. We listen in there and it's over here. And all the other ones are over here, two different planets. Yeah.
It looks like social media, but it acts like Google, and Google owns it, just in case there's one person in the audience who didn't know that. Google owns YouTube.
It's Alphabet, Karen, the parent company.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. That's right. Alphabet. And I still say Facebook. I'm not saying Meta either. Sorry. I am old and stuck in my ways.
Meta, I think about Meta World Peace. The amazing NBA player, Ron Artest, and that was his new name. So that's all I think of when I hear Meta because I love him.
But yeah, I mean, if you make a video on YouTube that is performing well on YouTube, it will also show up on the first page of Google search results totally for free. It acts more like a search engine than social media.
And I love that you talk about landing on the Google search results, which I know that a lot of y'all would like to have better visibility in your real estate business. And whether you love or hate Google, because they do play games with their own algorithms, I get it. But if you are thoughtful about the content, that is a game changer, especially if you're trying to overcome certain websites and apps that are competing with you and charging you for your own people coming back. If you've ever said that out loud, this might be an opportunity to stand out in a very crowded market because it's just going to keep getting more crowded. And speaking of that, if you had to guess between 2016 and our imaginary 5,000 made up number, how many agents or real estate professionals, as of the recording of this at the fourth quarter of 2023, are consistently putting video content out there now?
I'm just going to pull a number out of thin air. I'd say like 20,000.
So it's still not a hugely.
It's not a lot.
It's just not a populated space. It's crazy to me.
I mean, you'll look at a place like Dallas, a major city with a lot of real estate agents, and how many realtors are making not listing tour videos, but videos that are promoting why you should work with me in a way that's not gross and salesy. They're educational videos, but they're more about how can I help you as the consumer, not how can I show off this one particular house. There might be 5, 7 agents doing that consistently. I mean, there's just not a lot.
So is there a way for wherever you are to investigate your own market and figure out how many people are doing video besides how do you find them?
Yeah. So what I would do is open up YouTube and go do a search. In the search bar right at the very top, I would probably do an incognito search so that it's not looking at your search history and your cookies and all that. So if you're using Google Chrome, you go like file, new incognito window, then you go to youtube.com. But don't type in something like best realtor in Concord. Type in something like market update Concord or moving to Concord or something that's a little more general. It's not specific to a person or a property, and just see who shows up. And you'll probably find very, very old videos. YouTube seems to reward the videos that have been on the longest that have a lot of views and the videos that are brand spanking new because they are fresh. So you'll see videos that are like 8 years old, and then you'll see something that was published 3 days ago. And then you'll start seeing stuff in between, but you'll see the same people over and over again. And if you see one person where you're like, wow, that's a great video, and he's got 35,000 views, and you go to his channel, so you click on the video and then click on the name of his channel and just go look at the videos, sometimes you'll see that he's still publishing consistently. And other times you'll see he hasn't made a video in 3 years. And so it was working back then, and then they just stopped. Why did they stop?
Because they might not be in the business anymore. I think a savvy would also take that name and go to the MLS and Broker Metrics and see if they're still active. And frankly, if they're not, I'd probably call that agent and say, do you need a referral partner? If you're still inactive, I can close the leads that are still coming in and pay you a referral fee as long as they've got their license active or they can receive a referral fee. There could be some opportunity there.
That's brilliant. Absolutely.
I just thought of that just now. And that's why you and I like to mastermind. And frankly, y'all, that's why you come to a podcast like this, to watch us think out loud so that we can come up with ideas about trademarked concepts and where you can find some additional business. Now, Karen, we'll tell them more in the show notes about how they can reach you for coaching and classes and all of the content that you put out all the time. But leave them with one little nugget before they jump off at this episode that they could go feel some energy right now.
Okay. If you are making videos for YouTube with the goal of attracting your next client, do not make the video all about you. Do not open the video with, hello, I am a realtor in. They will leave the video so fast, it will leave skid marks. You have to do it to be compliant, but you don't have to do it in the first 10 seconds of the video. So you're going to say, what is the pain point that you are talking about in this video? So perhaps it's that I should have sold my house last summer when it was still a hot seller's market. And now I'm worried I waited too long. The prices are going down. I'm going to have to give concessions. There's not as much demand. There won't be multiple offers. And I'm kicking myself that I waited too long. And now that's over. So when you start your video, you know that that's what they're thinking and that's the problem that they're having. Call that out at the very beginning of your video. Do you have a home in Concord, North Carolina, and you're thinking, dang it, I should have sold last year when the market was still hot. I waited too long and now I can't. Hold on. It is not too late. This is what the market is doing right now. And I'm going to give you my 5 best secrets for getting the most possible money when you list your house. Let's go. So who wouldn't want to watch that video if they're thinking about selling their house? I did not say, oh, I am so important and I have so many designations. And can we all just take a moment to appreciate how amazing I am? Because I sell houses for over the asking price within 17 seconds of putting it live on the MLS.
That's the most tiresome social media strategy.
Yes.
If anything, I'm grateful for a stabilizing market just because it has put down that particular breed of marketing. Karen, thank you so much for dropping all the knowledge that you always drop so willingly. And y'all, you can find all of her information in the show notes for this episode. So go click on it, go connect to her. And most importantly, go do something with this good bit of information. And frankly, get your own back. I love that. I got my own back today. Karen, thank you. I look forward to seeing you in person again soon.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me, Lee.
All right, friends, check out some more videos over here. And if you didn't go watch it before, because I know you didn't, now go watch Karen's other episodes so you can get some more information. And we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there, and if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.